Fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, we're going to do something a little bit different here today, okay? We'll give you a chance to, I'm going to get you to think if you want to. Well, that's crazy. Of course you're thinking. Get a pencil and paper if you want to. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to do our version of the Bible question man. You know, he does the Bible answer man. I want to do the Bible question man today, this morning. A question that maybe you have about, I don't know, some doctrines, something in the Bible that in the multitude of many counselors, we may find an answer to. Because we know this, when you go to your church and you ask your pastor about a doctrine, whatever, he's going to give you his belief on it, right? One of the reasons I think we're in the mess that we're in is because that's exactly what's taking place. And so we have very distinct and varied doctrines that don't align with each other. So I'm going to try it again. I've told you a million times. Well, no, that's a lie. Sorry, Lord. Many times. Seems like a million. I'm not a theologian. I am not a theologian. But I can think. I can read. And I just know this, because I can think and I can read and I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of things that they've been telling us that just aren't true. I'm sorry. And there's a lot of things that are true that they haven't been telling us. So I want this to be a free open forum this morning that you can ask whatever you want and nobody's going to laugh at you. And we're not going to get into a fight and we'll throw around some different ideas and some different things like that. I want to say this before I get, friends, this is me now. Okay. Of course it's me. Do me a favor. Don't take the test, Jab. No. Don't even take the test. Do not go to a doctor and let them give you a test. Listen to me. All you have to do is search on the internet, and you'll find out evidence that there are false positives in the test. In other words, the test does not reveal what they tell you it reveals. What does the test do? Why, it gives them the chance to make a lot of money. Because if you come back and it says that you're COVID positive, oh, the money starts flowing in. And also, so does the protocol. So does the protocol. So if you're going someplace or you work, I would resist the test as much as I would resist the jab. I don't trust anybody that they wouldn't put something on the tip of that thing that would give me COVID. Anybody think I'm crazy for thinking that? Listen, we know this.
Amen, Coach.
We know this right now. Listen to me. We know this right now. That the regular flu that you get lasts for maybe a year. Maybe a year. And we know that next year's flu shot, whatever, back before we had COVID, next year's 2022's flu shot will be based off 2021's flu. Do you understand that, friends? They will take a culture of the 2021 flu, and that will become the 2022 injection. They're always a year behind on keeping up with the flu. So if COVID came here, when did it come? When did COVID supposedly just hit our shores? Was it 2019? Yeah, it's COVID-19, wasn't it? So we've went through the 19 flu season. We've gone through the 20 flu season. And we're about to head into the 21 flu season. Friends, that COVID shot, that COVID test is not covering the up-to-date COVID. It didn't. Come on! That's why people are going out and getting the flu shot, and they're worse off than they were. Because the flu shot is based, and see, they cover their tracks because they call it a variant. Well, folks, the flu mutates every year. That's why you have to have a new flu shot every year. Of course there's a variant off of it now. And since they've got us so afraid of that word COVID, we camp on that word COVID. By the way, I got this from Stephanie this morning. I'm going to read this to you. She said, I spoke to Mitch. I just got an email that not all his employees are 600. Mitch works on high tension wires, communications like that. John, I see you, John. I'll get you in a second. So she says there are 600 people in the entire United States that does what he does, and they have to be jabbed by December 8th, supposedly. About half of those guys are going to be gone, let go, because they're not going to take it. Also, three friends in the same field with a different company were made to test last week since they won't get the jab. So they won't take the jab, so they have to test every day coming out. Same day later, all three became horribly ill. Two are extremely ill. Pneumonia positive test for COVID, of course. One guy is a Marine, and he said he couldn't get out the weird metal taste out of his mouth after the test. Was absolutely healthy and fine, a farmer with no health issues until that test. Hours later, he's at death's door and can't breathe. He's on ivermectin and on antibiotic now, but declining rapidly. Said he is fighting going to the ER. Have you heard of people getting sick from the test lately? Seems to kick in with a vengeance. Tell people not to take the test. People, don't take the test. What are they going to do? Come on, friends. Why do they want to know whether or not you have COVID? Why do they want to know? Money, protocol, all of this, right? Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us. Something else I wanted to...
Biochemical attack so they can adjust it every time.
We don't want to believe it, man. We don't want to believe it. Come on. Come on, folks. Wise up in here. And I got several emails, and I was glad to get those several emails. Got a real nice... a video from Sammy up in Minnesota on pots, on how to even make those pots better with lard. So I'll tell you what to do, Spencer, when we get rolling. I'm going to take that video that she sent me, and I'm going to put it in the chat. And then you guys can all copy it and look at that, how you can make a candle out of lard that you get at the, you get at the store. And it'll burn 8 hours. 8 hours, and it'll generate heat. So I'll get that when I shut up here in a minute. I'll get that thing out and send it out to you. I thought it was a great show yesterday as far as preparation. We need to do that stuff, and that's where we are. So I'm going to jump in here, get some questions. Looks like they're coming up, and I got one thing. I got a video I got to show you. I got two videos before we get going. I got a commentary I want to read. I won't get to it. Go to the death of the sun, Spencer. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. And I bet you this could be repeated. How many? Why is the Centers for Disease Control? Why are they not telling us? Why are they not telling us that people are dying? Why are they not telling us, folks? And this was this guy testified yesterday in Congress, or 2 days ago in Congress. He lost his son. Go ahead and play that, Spence. I think maybe you got to scroll down. Here he is. He lost his 16-year-old son.
I was a father of a 16-year-old son. A single parent. I raised my boy since he was a baby. He meant the world to me. I got the vaccine to protect my son. And after in March, April, they're announcing how it was safe for teenagers. Me and my son have never been apart. We're always together. He was my best friend. I always told him it was me and you against the world.
He joined ROTC in high school. He was always full of smiles. Anybody that knew my son would see He was happy. I wasn't rich, but I gave him everything he wanted. We didn't lack for anything. We used to go fishing, camping, do everything. We got the Pfizer vaccine because I thought it was to protect him. I thought it was the right thing to do. It was like playing Russian roulette. My government lied to me. They said it was safe. Next week is his birthday. You know where I'm going to celebrate his birthday at? While everybody, once we leave here, they're going to forget about what we're doing, or what they talk about, what we said here. They're going to be enjoying time with their family and kids. Thanksgiving, I'm going to spend at the cemetery. Christmas, at that cemetery. They need to quit pushing this on their children. I lost mine. Y'all need to protect yours. They're trying to target the 5 to 12-year-olds. We're going to have more deaths in our hands than they plan. And they say it's worth the risk. It wasn't worth the risk.
Folks, they are... Spencer, I'm going to throw this up here to you real quickly. Hang on. I want people to see this as well. Hang on. I know some of you got some, listen, I hate it when this happens, but I was going to save this morning and didn't. So I'm sending it to Spencer right now. Hey, Spencer, if you could, while I'm doing this, that email I just sent you regarding Cisco, just put that up on the screen so people can get it. And then put that video in the chat while I'm trying to get this to you as well. Okay, bud. Thanks, man. So folks, there's the video. There's the video. It's going to show you how to make a candle that'll last you 8 hours out of Cisco oil. Okay. I'm not going to take time to send it to you. Spencer, I just sent you another one. I want you to get up on the screen, folks, because now we're finding out our hospital emergency rooms are packed again. Spencer, put that in the chat for you, folks. Pull that out and look at it. You can create an 8-hour candle that will produce heat and light into your room. Okay. It's really, really just plain old Cisco. You get that cheap stuff down at the bottom, that margarine stuff, that stuff works too. And it's a really, I thank Sam for sending that to us. Spencer, if you could, Spence, go ahead and pull up that. Yeah. Folks, look at this now. Hospitals are jammed with people seriously ill and dying from the COVID vaccine. So Lou Rockwell, scroll on down, Spence. I want people to see something. you say, Coach, where? You know, yeah, Paul Craig, Rob, going down. That's it, bud. Sorry, I'm not more prepared on this, folks. I try to be. Let's go to Zero Hedge. Click on the Zero Hedge right there. Yep. There it is. Okay. Hospital rooms are being... Nobody can seem to explain why this is happening. With less people catching the virus, you would think this means that our emergency rooms would be emptying out, but the opposite is exactly happening. Slow going down, Spencer, because it's something I want people to see here. There it is, right there. If the number of COVID cases was starting to spike again, it would make sense for emergency rooms to be overflowing. But at this particular hospital in Michigan, we're being told that some of the main things that are being treated, the hospital emergency rooms are packed with people who have abdominal pain, respiratory problems, blood clots, and heart conditions. Right there it is for you, folks. All right? Right there it is. And we're just now beginning to see the consequences of what this is going to, it's going to be. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, and what you said about don't take the test, not only about the efficacy of the test or anything like that, but if they can't on the first level force you to take the vaccination and make you decide to take the vaccination, and then they make you take a test instead. See, they have still accomplished a step towards their goal, and that is to make you do something, get you conditioned to follow and let them be the dictator.
So Larry, you couldn't be any more right. Friends, if you go to the doctor and he says we're going to test you for COVID, somebody help me out here. 3 years ago when you went to the doctor, did they do a test on you to see what you had, or did they treat you for the flu? Didn't you go in and they immediately began to treat you with antibiotics and all that? And now you got to go in and get a shot, and then 3 days later they'll say, "Well, oh yeah, you do have COVID, right?" I mean, this is done. Okay, let's go to some questions here. I hope you have them. I've staked my whole reputation today on the fact that we're going to be able to have a show and a round robin on some of these things that we don't understand. And I'm going to start with Myra and then Jack. Jack may not have a question. He probably got a statement. Go ahead, Myra.
Good morning, Saints. Always great to see you all. I have a question in regard to Exodus, since it's a Bible question day. Exodus 14:29, but the children of Israel walk upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. What is the spiritual meaning of dry land?
Yeah, you start out with a college professor question, Myra. And the waters returned, but the children of Israel walked upon the dry in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right side and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. I would say, because I'm not a theologian, I don't know if there's any significance to the fact that it was dry land, other than it was painting a picture for you of what the parting of the Red Sea might have looked like. Now, we've all seen the Ten Commandment movie, right? And the water on one side and dry land. Here's an even better question, Myra, as I read it. How could that land possibly have been dry? It was underwater. How could that land possibly have been dry? Larry's got one on. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, just may have something to do with that question. The word land, or sometimes translated as ground there in that verse, does not appear in the original Hebrew Torah text, Bible, or whatever. That was added by the editors of our American Bibles. So the word dry is there, but the word land or ground is not there. So you can have muddy feet and still be dry.
Yeah, you sure can. You sure can. Listen, anybody else specifically have an answer for Myra on that one? If not, we'll move to the next question. I don't know, Myra. I don't know. There may be some. Anybody?
Coach.
Yeah.
It just, in the Hebrew, it says it says Strong's. It says dry. That's dry. And then just says ground after it. But dry is the word.
Okay. Bernie?
Yeah, Coach, the one thing is that one thing we know is that later we're told in the New Testament that they're going through symbolized baptism. So there's that's not the dry land part, but there's something that is revealed that there was symbology about what happened there, you know. And I just kind of say, hey, sure symbolized baptism, you know. They didn't get wet, you know. And then I'm just like, I guess the Egyptians were baptized by submersion. Were they just sprinkled? I mean, no, I just.
Well, hey, Bernie, if they were going to baptize them, the water would have caved down, and they'd all been baptized at once. So I don't know.
It's just one of those odd things. It's a good question. I don't know. We got to keep thinking about these things. It's a good question.
Yep, Jim.
Can I get in there and give you a little bit of my opinion?
Sure.
Myra, first of all, I think if we stick with what words mean throughout the whole Bible, we can have a red thread that goes through. Sea usually, or waters, represent people. Now, the children, when they came out of Babylon, they were full of pagan ideas. They didn't have the true word of God. So he took them through dry land. They didn't have the spirit of the Lord. Now, God always talks about the right hand and the left hand. The people of God are, you know, the word of God is usually the right hand, and the goats are on the left. So people are going through, they're experiencing, you know, they've got so much paganism.
Perfect. Amen. Yes.
Yeah, that, really good. That's really good, man.
So think about that, but always, you know, in the dry land, how long did they have to go, you know, around and around until the
water? Well, not only that, the dry land would represent, the Holy Spirit represents water, moisture, right? So there was no Holy Spirit there.
There was nothing there for them.
Bam. Wow. Man, oh, man, oh, man. My pastor never told me that. Jim, did you want to say something? I saw that you put your hand up regarding that, no?
Yeah. Just, I would just say, looking at it, it's just part of the miracle and part of God's provision.
Amen. We can read something. Don't have to always read something into everything, but Janine, that was illustrative to me. Jack, come on in.
One of the things about the crossing of the Red Sea, if you have ever been at the bottom of a lake, that's mud, deep mud. And it would be extremely difficult to dry that out. So it's an extreme miracle. It's a total miracle. It's not just somebody stopped the water. It is an absolute, amazing, incredible, unhuman miracle for them to have walked across, even in a little bit of mud.
Yes,
it would have been feet thick of mud.
Think what's on the bottom of the ocean, folks. I can't even imagine. Yeah,
right. It's incredible. The miracle is so extreme that there's no way to blow it off as some natural phenomenon.
Yeah, it's almost like God's way of people who want to doubt that say, oh yeah, he parted the Red Sea. Oh yeah, he not only parted the Red Sea, he made it dry too. Right. It's almost like a poking them in the eye type thing.
Under normal circumstances, would have taken probably 5 years to dry out.
Yeah, wow. I never really thought about that. Yeah. USA Country Girl, come on in.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yes. Go.
Oh, I want to know why in the book of Revelation, Satan, after God's got him in the chains, why is he going to be released again?
Do you know where that is, Jack? Anybody know where that is? We know that's true.
I don't get it.
He's released again to deceive the nations, is he not? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Any theologian have an answer for that one? I'd like to find the scripture if I knew exactly where it was. So that would help, by the way, if you're going to ask a scriptural question, have the scripture for us so we can all go together and look at it. So Jack said that to me, and I'm trying to figure out where it is.
You didn't prep us well enough, Coach.
I know. Joe, come on in.
I think, I understand that the, restate exactly the question. I had the answer right in my head.
Why is Satan being released again after he's been down chains?
Because in the 1,000 years, those that are there have not experienced evil, and they need to see it to make a choice.
Mm.
So otherwise, how can they have free choice and will?
Amen. Listen, nobody's going to be satisfied by the answer, right? A lot of different answers, a lot of reasons. But there you go, USA Country Girl.
I was just going to let Myra know that Stan Deo has a lot of information on the Exodus and the crossing of the Red Sea. He actually calls it the Reed Sea, which was something that I didn't know before. Just by hearing his little stints on Doug Hagman's show, if you go to Stan Deo's website, he has all but scientifically proven the crossing of the Red Sea, the Exodus, and all of that. He's got a ton of information, so that might be a good place to look if you have questions about that.
Good one. And also, from what I understand, they're finding actual chariots at the bottom of the Red Sea. They're finding evidence of the chariots still down there.
Yes, yes.
Real quickly, it just went by. Spencer, put that business card back up there again. People in Central Ohio, I got this yesterday. This guy here, Tony Butcha, will fill any prescription you get. I know a lot of people are asking questions. Not only does he, not he's what's called a compounding pharmacist, meaning not only does he, would he give you like ivermectin, but he would give you the actual amount of ivermectin. So let's say somebody wanted you to have 500 milligrams of ivermectin, and most ivermectin comes in 1,000 milligrams. I'm making this up in my head, all right? He will make it exactly to what your specific need is. So if you're in a central Ohio area, here's a guy that you can get a hold of. Write that number down, and he, it is what he does. Wellness pharmacy focused on personal healthy solutions. All right, cool. I wanted to put that up before I forgot about that. Let's come back to Craig. Come on in.
Yeah, Coach, back to the waters and the parting of the water. Is not the human body like 97% water? Is he not going to separate the sheep from the goat? Did he not part the waters?
Yes. I mean, I think all that is applicable. But it's like anything else, folks. Sometimes we overanalyze things, don't we? I'm not saying that you did, Craig. Sometimes we overanalyze things. But that's one of the things I learned from our friend Mark Trump when he and I had a discussion just after I first met him. He says, we have to learn, Coach, to start reading the Bible deep, not wide. And part of that is to meditate, right? To meditate, like Craig just did there. What's the other significance of parting? What's the significance of left and right and all those things? Because there are keys into all those things as we let the Holy Spirit work on mind force in that situation. Go ahead, Reg.
Good morning. Many Christians read the Bible, but they don't read the Bible in the Spirit. Therefore, they are left dumbfounded.
They don't have the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit. Yep.
Okay, so Coach, can we discuss Genesis 6, 1 through 4 and Numbers 13?
Sure. All right, let's go Genesis 6. Spencer, if you can pull that up there for us.
There's Numbers 13, 33 as well.
And that you get Numbers 13, 33 ready as well. Now, hang on. How many of you run into Christians all the time says, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. All right. So just like the other day in the discussion of the Sermon on the Mount, the Bible says it, right? And I believe it. But can I tell you the truth? That doesn't settle it, does it? It doesn't settle it because we pick and choose what we want to believe. So Reggie's bringing up Genesis 6, 1 through 4, and I'll read it for our crowd here, all right? And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, now notice they don't say the sons of men, right? Aren't we sons of God? Aren't we also sons of men? There's something going on here. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Do you see the separation between the sons of God and the daughters of men? Wouldn't it be the sons of men and the daughters of men? Or wouldn't it be the sons of God and the daughters of God? There's a clear separation here, friends. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. In other words, somebody's starting to check out the chicks and thinking, man, these things are looking pretty good. And so they did what? They took them wives of all of which they chose. Now, I would question right away that word wives. Did they actually marry them? Or was it the sex act that would have, in a normal situation, made them a wife? Right? Because it says they took them wives of all they chose. So certainly these sons of God, they went around banging a lot of women. That's what I'm reading here. Right? And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. In other words, the dichotomy, spirit man, fleshly man, the idea that when we become born again, we have victory over the flesh, all right? I ought to just shut up and let you guys do the interpretation. Yet his day shall be 120 years. Verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that. When the sons of God, by the way, the same guys he's talking about in verse 2, came into the daughters of men, that's the sex act, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Okay, now Reggie, what was the other verse?
Numbers 13:33.
Numbers 13:33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. All right, Reg, what's the question?
I just want to see how others interpret that.
How do others interpret that? Because I've heard people, I'll throw one interpretation out there, that the sons of men were some type of special anointed human beings. I've heard people say that it wasn't giants. Hey, folks, how many times can we hear the word giant and think it's a mistranslation, right? We see giant in this sentence twice. Spencer, go back to Genesis 4. Does it say giants? There were giants. There were giants. What do they mean? There were giants. Goliath was a giant. We know that. A race of giants. Goliath had brothers. All right. I'm trying to figure out who has an answer and who has a question. So if you have an answer, Brett, if you have an answer, go ahead.
Okay. I have an answer for the first question, Red Sea Crossing, Coach. Ron Wyatt, who passed away back in the 90s, I truly believe he found the Red Sea Crossing. He's the one that you find that found the chariot wheels and all that kind of stuff across there. There was there's a pillar still standing on the one side of the Red Sea, and there's a pillar that's been knocked over on the other side. The people that live around that area, the nomads and so on, know that they've known that was a Red Sea crossing for years, yet the theologians and the archaeologists will not investigate that area. It's mind-boggling. They do not want to prove the Bible's correct.
Same thing about Sodom and Gomorrah. That land does. Larry, do you want to?
And then one more. How did the Nephilim or the giants get from pre-flood to after the flood? That's my question.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that seed went through there somewhere. All right, Larry, does anybody want to answer this? I'm trying to keep those who have a question to those who have a response. Do you have a response, Larry, or a question?
I have a response to the Sons of God one.
Okay.
We have to look at the chronology. Before Jesus, the Bible is very clear. Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father God. And the crossing of the Red Sea was long, it's before Jesus was here. And after Jesus, the only children and sons of God are adopted children of God.
Wow, good
so
point, Larry.
Probably, I haven't done a deep study on it, but I'm thinking it's in the actual deep down meaning of the word sons here. The sons of God that saw these ladies, daughters of men. It wasn't a begotten son. It wasn't an adopted son. Might have been a created son.
Isn't Bible study fun? Because words mean things, don't they? They do mean things. Silver,
yeah,
you have an answer?
I'm trying to dig into sons right now. I'm going to pop out.
Silver, you got an answer, Silver?
Uh-huh.
Question. Go ahead.
I have an answer.
Okay.
Get your book of Enoch out. If you don't have one.
Not allowed to read that. We're not allowed to read that, Joe.
Not in this house. You can read it. Okay. But the thing about Jesus being the only begotten Son of God, that is so true. But angels are created by God.
Right.
Okay. And they are not begotten.
Could that be a misinterpretation of that word? Maybe, huh? Maybe
possibly,
sons of God.
Possibly.
Yeah. Created being.
They are created beings. And Jesus was not created. He was begotten. And So the thing about the giants, if you look in the Book of Enoch, and I've seen two different versions of the Book of Enoch, they were talking about having heights of 3,400 feet.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
And other versions say 340 feet. So I have no idea which one is right, but still, that's pretty dang big. Okay.
That was the first one.
I think it was the first one, actually, myself, but not quite a mile high. And but they're big, and if they want to take these are begotten of the angels and the daughters of men.
Folks, here's what I Jeff,
and
I can jump in.
That's what came out.
Okay, a lot of people want to get in here. It's all good. Listen, this is, in my opinion, it's the purpose of the flood. That from the foundations of the earth, the perfect seed had to get through. The perfect seed was the perfect sacrifice, Christ. And we know they called him seed of the serpent and seed of the woman. We know who the woman was. And so in order for that perfect seed to get through, understand this now, that the Virgin Mary had to be, for the most part, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, she had to have the perfect seed of Jesus to give birth to him. And so the devil, not knowing what was going on, understood that he had to pollute the seed. He had to pollute the seed. If he could pollute the seed, the plan of salvation would never be able to go forward. And so the sons of God, the fallen angels in rebellion, knew that. And that's why the battle was between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. They wanted to pollute the perfect seed, which was going to become the perfect sacrifice. That, I believe, I'm not a theologian, was the purpose of the flood. To destroy that imperfect seed. Now, I don't know how, maybe somebody can explain. Boy, this is, I got a lot of you, I feel guilty, a lot of you want to get in here. I don't know how the seed got through the flood. I know how the seed of the woman got through the flood. I'm still not sure how the seed of the serpent got through. Now, we know this, friends, that angels don't die. They don't die. And what angels become upon their death, if, for instance, the angels had sex with women and a being was created and that being dies, that person dies, well, angels don't die. So they become what we would call disembodied spirits, a spirit without a body. We see that at the Gadarene when the pigs came out, right? And they were all mad because the pig said, why are you doing this? You drown us. And the pigs, he said, let us go into another body. And so the understanding that evil spirits need a body in order to possess, we understand kind of what's going on. How that Nephilim seed continued beyond the flood is still somewhat of a mystery to me. And that's a whole nother question. And I got 40 hands up in here. I don't even know where to start on this one. Craig, I'm going to pick Craig out of nowhere. What do you think, Craig? Somebody help me here.
Well, we got definitions, right? That's definitions are important. Okay. So let's go to Job 38, where God talks about, this is God talking to Job. And let's just read the first couple. Okay. He says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Who stretched out the line upon it? That where the foundations fastened? Who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars... Okay, that's one. That's a group sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So God's basically saying, "Man, where were you? You weren't there. The only two people who were there were morning stars and sons of God." So sons of God are first creations of angelic beings.
Wow.
They're okay, and a son of man. Adam's name in Hebrew means man. Okay. So Adam was a son of God because he was a first creation. We are sons of men because we fall through Adam. Okay. Just like your son that you had, he's a direct creation between you and your wife. All right. Now his grandchildren, while they carry your DNA and some of your similarities, are not your direct creation, but they are created from your son, right? So sons of God are angelic beings, okay, because they couldn't replicate. Remember when Jesus said in heaven there won't be, you know, who's going to be the wife of this man of this
woman? Because the flesh body is only here on this earth, right?
That's why they didn't see. They were jealous that man was able to reproduce. Okay, that was not something that God gave them the ability to do, and that's why one of the reasons of the whole flood happened. Okay, because they wanted that aspect. They wanted to be able to reproduce themselves, and that's where the son of men being with sons of God. That's why was always in the Old Testament used as first creation of angelic heavenly hosts, morning stars.
Wow, Craig. Folks, I got about 30 people. Looks like I want to get in there. I don't even know to begin. All right. Somebody thinks they got something pertinent to say. First one in. Come on in. A new question. Let's stay on this. Not a new question.
The word sons there is not the primary meaning of the word ben. The primary meaning, the word that ben comes from in Hebrew, is from the word builder. So the builders of God saw the daughters of men, and like he just said, that God created these elders, these helpers, these workers or whatever to come down and help the earth get going, and they're the ones that mixed into the mess.
Folks, I think it's undeniable. I have to be forthcoming here. Till about 20 years ago, I never heard of Nephilim. I never heard anything. I'd been in church my whole life, and I'd never, ever heard anything about it. And so it's so hard for those of us who've never heard anything about this. This seems so far-fetched and otherworldly until you come back in and the Bible talks about it. Or as somebody said earlier, I can't remember, the book of Enoch, which is still part of the Ethiopian Bible, and at one part, at one time, was part of the what would be called official canon. It's not in part of the King James Version. But take the book of Enoch and read the book of Enoch and just read it as a historical record. Say, well, it's not perfect word of God. Okay, I'll argue that. But it talks all about this. It talks all about and gives us an understanding of how the spiritual realm is created and how when we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What that means, it gives a new meaning to all of that stuff, in my opinion. Because why? These are disembodied spirits. The demons are disembodied spirits, I believe, of the creation of men, natural men, and fallen angels. I can't prove it. Like I said, I'd never heard anything about that 20 years ago.
Can I come in?
Clay, go ahead, yes.
Yeah, I'd like to address Reggie's comment. Can I say one thing about the Red Sea that's interesting?
Sure.
When God created the earth, he separated the waters from the waters and put man on dry land. Then when the flood occurred, he brought the waters back together and flooded them, flooded all the evil. That's kind of interesting, ain't it?
Yes, it is kind of interesting. The whole thing's interesting, man.
I've been studying about these giants for years and years and years, and it takes too long to go into it in great detail. But if people will pull up their internet and search for something like fallen angels or watcher angels, there's other books besides Enoch. There's the Book of Giants, the Book of Jubilee. There's other ancient manuscripts that address this stuff, but From my research, it seems that there were like 200 angels that ascended down on Mount Hermon and left their original habitation because they wanted to come down, and they liked the women.
Yep. And well, look, right here, I just got a text, Clay. Noah was perfect in his generation. Noah was perfect. That means genetically, does it not, friends? But does it say anywhere about his wife or his daughters-in-law? Were they perfect in their generation? Or was only Noah? Another really interesting question, actually.
And here's the thing, Coach. We're humans, and we can make, you know, we've got technology. We can go into a woman and mess with their womb. We've got in vitro fertilization. I'm reading a book right now called Reverse and Hermon, and it talks, you know, if the angels descended on Mount Hermon and destroyed what God's plan was, it's explaining how Jesus came to the earth and is reversing. He reversed that issue that took place. And so when the Virgin Mary become pregnant, well, God didn't have sex with Mary. So the angels didn't necessarily have to have sex with these human women. They've got technology way above what the humans have. So we don't know what method they use to make this happen, but there's just a lot of information that you can just dive into years of study.
Okay, so Stephanie, our former...
Hey, that sounds like alien abduction. That sounds like alien abduction right there, don't it, Coach?
It does. So I want to read what Stephanie wrote here, folks. She sent me. Remember, she's a former pagan, so she understands the pagan world. She says the Nephilim are spirits that the pagans call spirit guides. They show up in bodies, meat suits. Stay here. Through bloodline Luciferians, the bloodline Luciferian rituals open the door. That's why they push for new age. Anything that opens up a meat suit so they can get in and manipulate it. The fallen angels are higher entities to send other demons, lower entities, out to scout you out. Find your weakness and your secrets, and then manipulate the surroundings to set traps everywhere and in those you love. They are always watching. If there is a flood and you do not have a body because you are a spirit that cannot die, they would not drown. They would just go back out of their meat suits. Everything of the earth was drowned. They are of the air when they're not in a body. That's why they say principalities of the air. Those half in the body and out of the body. The ability to go, they don't die, friends. They don't die. I didn't know I was going to get into this.
Fallen angels died, Coach. He says everybody, all human life died.
Yes, that's it. Fallen angels don't die. They're immortal. Now, Craig wants to jump in here and read Enoch chapter 15. So get ready, Craig. I'm sorry, all of you. I had no idea this was going to happen. Enoch chapter 15. Can you pull that? Spencer, go to Enoch. Just the book of Enoch. Pull that up there for us real quickly. No, just Google book of Enoch.
Hey, chapter, Coach,
there it is. Look at that guy.
Time. Okay. Save us a lot of time here, Coach.
What's that, Randy?
I can save us a lot of time here.
Go ahead.
Okay. Look, after the flood, Ham went, he says he uncovered his father, Noah. That means he slept with his mother. He slept with Noah's wife. All right. Ham is the father of Canaan, who God said, go annihilate him in time. That's who he said, annihilate them all. Okay. They've proved this. The DNA of the giants passes down through the maternal. Okay. It passed down through his Manoah's wife. They become giants, not everybody, but just certain parts, certain Anak, which was in Numbers 13, which Reggie wrote or read. That was a sect of the giants. So there was not all giants, but there was giants in certain clans and families. So what God did, he sent Joshua and Caleb in there to conquer them and kill them. Okay. And it took it all the way till David, time of David, to get rid of them. Now we got them off the earth in the natural, Coach, but Stephanie is 100% correct. Now it's in the spiritual realm and they have to find a body, people like Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, to indwell and possess. And that's how we see them. So it passed down after the flood through Noah's wife, the maternal side. I mean, yeah, the maternal side.
Well, we do know this, don't we? That in Jewish tradition, that's why Mary was the virgin, because the heritage is passed down through the mother. That's true, is it not, folks? You would all agree with that. So that's the importance of that. I'm going to give. Boy, we got so much. God, I feel like I'm stepping on people by not letting them get in here.
I would like to put an input on this.
Okay.
You all may not agree with me, but when you start reading, when God told Noah, take two of every flesh, we automatically think that they're all animals or not humankind. Now, Noah and his family were at the eight perfect people. They were Adamic. But it said that he had to take two of every flesh. Now, that's where our nationalities came from. I believe that there were more than just Adam's family on the ark.
Also, Gene, it took two unclean. He took seven clean, pairs of clean. Two, boy, interesting. I'm gonna let Craig get back in with his zeros. What do you want us to see? By the way, Spencer, maybe you could put the Book of Enoch in the chat so people who've never really done any research on the Book of Enoch can at least make themselves familiar with that. So if you could somehow put that link in there so at least they would be able to read it, know what it is they're talking about. Is it canon? We can argue about that. But what was the point you wanted to make, Craig?
Well, what it is the after this happened, the watchers who were involved in this basically went to Enoch and petitioned him to write a note to God saying, we're really sorry. Okay. And so this is the God's answer to the watchers. Okay. Because what it does is it basically explains what they did. Okay. Why they're eternal, why they were in heaven, how they intermingled with the sons of men who have blood. Okay. That's different because spiritual doesn't have the blood, you know, it says, flesh and blood shall never inherit the kingdom of God, you know, flesh and bone does. That's a whole nother discussion, but that answers the question. Okay. And here's the interesting thing here. It says in verse 2, chapter 15. Okay. So this is God saying to Enoch, he says, go say to the watchers of heaven who have sent thee to intercede for them. See, Enoch's their intermediary. He says, you should be interceding for men, not men for you.
Craig, where are you, Craig?
I'm in chapter 15, verse 2.
Not from what I'm reading.
Okay, this is Ken Johnson, this is a part of Dead Sea Scrolls, Enoch, and all. This is the first book of Enoch, okay? And okay. They might use holy ones. They might use, you know.
Listen, are you in chapter 15, Craig? Are you sure you're in 15?
Yes.
Does it start out then addressing me? He spoke.
Craig, just read the screen.
Read the screen, Craig.
Okay, it's hard for me on the phone. Maybe Silver could do that.
Okay, well, you were doing a great job, but it wasn't what I was on the screen.
Okay, well, I'm reading off the Book of Enoch, at the first book of Enoch, Ken Johnson.
Okay, I don't want to argue. We're wasting time. What's verse 2 say, Craig?
Okay, it says basically the watchers of heaven who have sent thee to intercede
Wherefore have you forsaken the lofty and holy heaven, which endures forever, and have lain with women, have defiled yourself with the daughters of men, have taken to yourselves wives, and have acted like the sons of the earth, and have begotten an impious offspring. That's verse 2, Craig.
Okay. Well, we can rail off yours, so otherwise it would be confusion. You can have Silver read it, but you'll get the gist of what we're saying. I mean, when you sift it out, okay, Enoch is interceding for these watchers, and they're not, you know, watchers are supposed to intercede for men, okay, and it explains what they did. So you can have Silver read it. I think it's going to be the same.
I just read it. I mean, are you saying go to verse? Because I'm running short on time. Go to verse 3. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, if you keep going, you can just read the whole thing. But the point is, I think people just need to read the Book of Enoch. Go to chapter 15, do your study on it, and you'll see it's talking about what you're explaining on the show.
Okay. Angie Ryan, come on in real quickly. Angie.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi. So the great topic today, I always love it when we get to ask questions, and sometimes you ask the hard questions and maybe you have an answer, maybe you don't. I have a couple. One of them, and this is more of just a challenging thing to get people thinking. When you look at, there's over 40 plus thousand denominations of the Christian faith, including even Judeo Christian faith. One of the questions I always have to ask people is, does man have the authority to change God's word? And when
no.
you start asking yourself that question and diving into your book, you'll learn that the answer is no. And then you're going to find out how much of your doctrines of men and traditions are null and void.
Okay? Because they haven't changed. Yeah. Yep.
Right. The other question I do have, and this is again a challenge, we were just talking about the line of Jesus, Yeshua, having to come off of Mary's line from King David. Okay. If you look at the English translation of both Matthew and Luke, who are the ones who documented the lineage of Christ, neither of those show a blood lineage off of Mary.
Hmm.
They both talk about the husband of Mary. Mary is the only one where that lineage can come off of. And the trick answer to that is that you have to go back to Hebrew and look at what the Hebrew book of Matthew said. And so I'll just leave people that little gem to go and do their research on.
Trust but verify, right? Trust but verify. Rochelle, come on in.
Hey, good morning, team. This has been a great show. Yeah, I have a question about it only being on the mother's side, because I don't know. I did. Were there any female giants? They were all male giants. I don't know how it came from the female side. Looking at that, though, I don't think any angels came back and did it the original way. I think it is possible. They allude to cuttings, sorcery, and pharmakia. And I didn't look where this was. I know in Enoch it talks about it. It also talks about it in our Bible, how this was passed on. And right after talking about cuttings, then they talked about giants. So maybe there's a way they knew how to make regular people become like miracle grow, in a sense.
Would you guys agree that this ought to be open discussion in all of our churches? That this ought to be, huh? Why is this not an open discussion in all of our churches?
Sure. And these disembodied spirits, 90% of them had been locked up until, well, I don't know the math, but some people think to about maybe 1 to 200 years ago, and then were set free, which was when all of this technology boomed.
That would make a
lot of sense. And in all of your Old Testaments, when it talks about sons of God, it is talking about what you would call spiritual beings, sometimes called Elohim. So don't refer the God Almighty as just another Elohim. Those are just created spiritual beings. Anyway, great job, Coach.
Oh my goodness, I didn't get nearly what I wanted to get. Let me get Joe in here real quick.
Coach, you remember Henry Gruber, you know, great man.
Oh yeah, sure do. Yes. Uh-huh.
And when his Japan mission days, he had a testimony that there was an ancient monument, and it had on it a boat with eight people from which all humanity sprang. And that's a legend in Japan.
No kidding. Oh my goodness. Hey, so let me finish with this. I'm sorry I didn't get all. Stephanie, who, again, our resident former pagan, says, she has a question. Did Eve ever say she was sorry? Did Eve ever repent? That's a great question. And then she said, or did she agree to use her bloodline for the serpent and become Lilith, who's the mother of demons? Oh, my goodness. Bringing the feminist religions, the goddess, the Gaia, the earth mother. It is against God. What if the serpent set her up knowing she would be angry so he could go back to her and offer vengeance? The original open and angry woman feminist was Eve. Yes, there were. Nephilim female were rare, but there are skeletons of it. Chew on that all weekend, boys and girls. You won't hear that. Hey, listen, I don't know what's true. I just want to know the truth. That's all. I just want to know the truth, and I don't care what it is. I'm a big boy. God bless you. We'll see you Monday.